Glory be to God. Thank you for coming. Mark, that was a wonderful testimony, and I'm sure Rachel is happy. Glory be to God. Yeah, she's very happy. All right. Yeah. Thank you all for coming. We are very few, so every one of you, greet everyone in the room. All right. I don't know how many people know that lady's name, so every one of you get to know her name. And yes. Okay. Okay. Teddy, you haven't said hi to Mark. I'm watching. This is very careful. Yes, the instruction was everyone. Okay? Yes, glory be to God. Thank you for coming to this Bible study. I hope you'll be blessed today. It is not fair to waste the time of God's children. All right? To waste their time and also to waste their money. Because after a year, you're going to give. So it's not fair for you to come, spend your time, and then give for nothing. All right? So I pray that you'll get blessed. If you don't get blessed, please don't give. However, actually give, even if you don't get blessed, because you might get blessed on Sunday. All right? And your money, is used for the other things in the week. Amen? But if the blessing becomes, the not being blessed becomes consistent, then you stop giving. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. God is good. Yes, we're back studying the Bible using Rick Joyner's book, The Final Quest. The other week when we were here, that was, I think, on 13th. Yep. The topic was The End is Here. The end of this dispensation, okay, before the Lord comes back. And essentially, we say that the human empires have come and gone exactly as God predicted in Daniel chapter 2, all right? But there is one last human empire that is to come, and it is taking shape right now before our eyes, okay, that is the revived Roman Empire, which was symbolized as the feet of iron and clay in Daniel chapter 2. So since it is taking shape, it means that the kingdom of God, which will utterly destroy it, is coming. You know what I mean? You remember there was that stone that was cut off and then it came. And it hit the feet of iron and clay and demolished the whole image. And that stone became a great mountain which covered the entire earth. And Daniel said that stone that became a mountain is the kingdom of God that is coming. Amen. So since the feet of iron and clay are taking shape, it means that the kingdom is getting ready, okay, to be ushered in, isn't it? That's how close we are. So, we should be ready for the second coming of the Lord. It's at hand. Okay, it's at hand. All right? Last week, you remember we talked about a man called Charles the Great? Charlemagne, okay, who was the one who first attempted to revive the Roman Empire in 800 AD, okay, and then we talked about how every year since 1950 something, every year there's someone who gets to receive the Charlemagne Prize. You remember? Yes. We talked about that, and we said that this year it was given to Emmanuel Macron, the French president, all right? I think it was awarded, I think, on 10th May, just last month, okay? Now, last week, I got to read things which, well, they could be true, but maybe they are not. about Emmanuel Macron. Actually, I first heard it on TV. Some guy who I watch every Monday. There are some three programs I watch on TV. And they are all, you know, they follow each other on Death Star. Now, this gentleman, you know, begins to talk about the Roman Empire, Charlemagne, and then, and of course, the Antichrist. So then he said that right now there's a gentleman, there's a person who might be, or might become the Antichrist. All right? Of course, in every generation, there is someone who what? Who people say, it could be that one. And, you know, things don't happen, they die, you understand? All right? So this gentleman was saying that there's now one person who, you know, especially seeing the things the guy is doing, all right, and what he's saying, and the things being done for him, okay, and also seeing how close we are, okay? The guy said this guy is a likely candidate. And he said that person is Emmanuel Macron. Then he gave his reasons why. Okay? Number one, you remember he's very he's very enthusiastic about the whole issue of what? European unity. Okay? And we said that the European Union is essentially, you know, the reviving of the Roman Empire. Okay? And Macron is very, you know, is like his whole energy is towards that. All right? And that is actually why he received the Charlemagne Prize. You see, all his talk is about European Union, European unity, and globalization. Okay? One world order. All right? So, he said that is one reason why. All right? Then he said, number two, okay? You remember the Antichrist, you know, when he comes, okay? He's going to sit, at a certain point, he's going to sit in the temple and declare himself to be God. You know, Okay? So, the guy said, you know, what is the name, what is the meaning of the name Emmanuel? Okay? Emmanuel means God with us. All right? Now, I'm not saying I believe all these things. And even the guy didn't say that Macron is going to be the Antichrist. He's just saying it's likely. Okay? Given how close we are to the end, all signs are there. The word of God, the prophecies in the word will show us that we are at the end of the age. All right? Okay? And then the dreams, you know. Okay? So then there's this guy who is very enthusiastic about the European unity, which is basically the Roman Empire. All right? And he was awarded the prize, you know, after a guy who first attempted to revive the Roman Empire, okay? And his name, okay, is Emmanuel, God with us, okay? And we know that the Antichrist, when he comes, at a certain point, he will sit in the temple and declare himself to be God. You understand? Okay? So, I was intrigued. I was like, what are the chances that 2 weeks ago, or less than 2 weeks ago, I was teaching about these things, okay? Talked about this guy, and now I get to hear that he's a likely candidate. You know, could it be that actually God, anyway, sometimes you don't want to go by external things to confirm the will of God. Man, you can error real well. Okay, but I'm like, possible, you know, anyway, you know. Then, so I went on the net. I was like, hey! So I went on the net to try and see what people are saying. Then I realized that this talk is not like fresh from last week. Apparently, people have been writing big things, you know, on the net since last year about Emmanuel Macron. And all these things that the guy is saying. Then, but on the net, I found something else. Okay? That someone was quoting Macron that once, some time ago, he said that he's going to rule, okay, as a Roman god. Okay? A Roman god, and I think he was referring to either Venus or something, any some god. You see, and remember, if you know history, remember the first time when the temple was desecrated, okay? Before, anyway, the second temple, okay? There was a guy called Antiochus, okay, who actually put the image of Zeus, a Roman god, and he put it in the temple. You see, and he said that actually that god and him are identical. That's what Antiochus said. Okay, so he's the first one who actually tried to say that I'm God, and it's whatever in the temple. Now Macron apparently said that he's going to rule like a Roman god. You see, So, and we know that the Antichrist is going to what? To basically to go and masquerade as God. Okay? And Macron says it, and apparently his name means God with us. Okay? Then there's another guy who took it further and said that, do you know the meaning of the name Macron? Okay? He said that it means like distant. He was saying that it means, so when you add both names, okay, it means that, you know, God from the distant, you know, is with us. Anyway, those are the things, think about them, okay? But the truth of the matter is, from the scriptures, the prophecies which are being fulfilled, okay, the time is at hand. Glory be to God. And that's why someone is saying, watch Macron carefully. He might be the one to fulfill this thing. Glory be to God. Amen? So, that is something I wanted to add from what we studied the other week about the end being here. Glory be to God. Maybe I should ask you, what do you think about that? Macron and Antichrist. But remember, every generation has had a guy who people say, this could be the likely guy. All right? But I thought about it and I was like, by the way, you know, things can get fulfilled when you're seeing and you don't realize. Okay? Like when Jesus came the first time, okay? Prophecies were being fulfilled, and there are guys who knew the scriptures, and they didn't even realize that the scriptures which they know are being fulfilled. So we can be aware when we know all end time things, and the Antichrist has appeared, but he hasn't yet become it. But, you know, and we're seeing, and man, we think everything is as usual. Okay? Yeah. Hilal, I know you have the same thoughts that I have, that every generation has this guy, you know. But man, this Macron, I was intrigued. Teaching about what? You know, then I talk about the guy, you know. And I didn't know what people were saying prior. This talk of Macron being the possible Antichrist has been around since he became president. And that was last year, I guess. Was it last year or the other year? And I didn't know about, anyway, today, okay, today's topic from our book, The Final Quest, we are, again, remember we are using the 2010 edition, and the copyright information page is our page one. All right? Copyright information page is page one. So today's topic is something very simple that we're going to study. We're going to entitle this study, God's Word and Your Word. Okay, God's Word and Your Word. All right? God's Word and whose Word? Yeah, exactly. Yeah, my Word. Yeah. So let's open page 65. Are you there? Page 65, paragraph 3. We're going to read paragraph 3 and 4. So it starts, Rick Jenner says, as I looked at someone in the room, I began to understand what he was thinking. Just as he had been able to understand me. When I looked at the Lord, I began to understand him in the same way. We continued to use words, but the meaning of each one had a depth that no dictionary could have ever captured. My mind had been freed so that its capacity was multiplied many times over. It was accelerating beyond any human experience. Let's first read that the second sentence, which reads, when I looked at the Lord, I began to understand him in the same way. Okay? But first it says that as I looked at someone in the room, I began to understand what he was thinking, just as he had been able to understand me. So you just look at someone, okay, and you know stuff about them, eh? Even they look at you and they know, you know, okay, without words, without using human words, without speaking, people are able to understand. Now, that is something that we see at times, like friends can be able to understand each other without speaking, couples at times, you know, okay. Though sometimes they are wrong, okay? Sylvia looks at Hillary and she sees Hillary has money for today. You know, okay? Anyway, so there's that dimension where you can understand each other without, you know, using words. And you can actually communicate without what? Using words. And I believe God's desire is that we should all desire to grow to that level, okay? Where you don't have to, you can know. And that's how, actually, people who are gifted prophetically, that's one thing that works as they begin to exercise that gift, okay? Just knowing without being told, okay? And they tell you, yes, stuff about you, all right? And that principle, we find it in, it's talked about in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 12. Yeah, after it has talked about love, you know, 1 Corinthians 13. Then in verse 12, Paul says, for now we see in a mirror, dimly, okay? But then, face to face. Then he explains what he means by that. He says, now I know in part, okay? I don't know everything. But then, okay, in this age to come, okay, then I shall know just as I also am known. You see it. Eh? He said that now I know in part. Eh? Okay, when I look at you, I know in part. Eh? Not everything about you, but there's a time that is coming when we get our glorified bodies and our minds get renewed to a degree that we cannot right now fathom. He says that when that time comes, okay, you shall know, okay, as you are also known. Okay, you'll know people just as they'll also know you, okay, but without them telling you about themselves. Glory be to God. I thought that we'll talk about that and inspire some of you to go for that. All right? Yeah. Now, paragraph 4, page 65. It was also obvious that the Lord was enjoying being able to communicate this way with me as much as I was with him. Okay? So the Lord enjoys communicating that way. Okay? Without coming and telling you, he just coming, you know? Do you understand? He enjoys it. All right? So when you ask him, God, be clear, he's like, no, I want you to grow to this level whereby we can talk without what? Without words, without visions, without dreams, okay? Without audible voices, you know, and God is like, yeah, you can know what I'm saying, what I'm up to, okay? If a dream doesn't come, you can still know, okay? We can still communicate. If a vision doesn't come, if a prophecy doesn't come, we can still communicate without words, okay? Hallelujah. There are times I go like a month without a dream, man. Okay? I'm telling you the truth. You know, nothing. Then when I come and I share one dream, some people think, every day I've been dreaming. Yet that dream has been the first one in a month. Okay? But when that dream doesn't come, or before it comes, the Lord is still communicating. He's still relating with us. Okay? When no prophecy comes, God is still communicating with you and he's still communicating with me. But in this dimension, where it is heart to heart. Glory be to God. And the deeper you grow in your relationship with him, okay, the easier it will be for you to know what he's saying, okay? If a dream doesn't come, if a vision doesn't come, if a prophecy doesn't come, glory be to God. Amen? You see, it says that, here, Regina is saying that, it was also obvious that the Lord was enjoying being able to communicate this way. That means that he enjoys it. Glory be to God. He enjoys it when he doesn't appear to you in a dream. Okay? He enjoys it when what? When he doesn't give you a prophecy through somebody. He enjoys it. Glory be to God. You understand? Because this heart-to-heart communication without words, it is actually the highest level of communication. Right, the greatest prophet, or the greatest whatever man, woman of God, is not the one who has the most dreams. Now, this is my opinion. All right, don't quote me. Don't say I'm speaking on God's behalf. It's my opinion that the sharpest prophet is not the prophet who sees, and then he tells you what he has seen. All right. It is not the prophet who gets dreams every day and then he tells you what he dreamt about you. Again, I'm telling you, these are my opinions. Okay? In my opinion, the greatest is one who just, knows what, like, heart to heart, what the Lord is saying, without seeing, without hearing, and then, you know, he gets it, you know, heart-to-heart level. You see, or even just heart-to-heart, him and you, and then he's able to pick, say, you know, without seeing, without hearing a voice, you see, and then he's bold enough to say things which he hasn't seen. Man, to take that risk, do you understand? Okay, there are prophets who, they prophesy like, he sees like a movie, and he sees the letters H-I-double-L-A-R-Y. He sees the letters. See, hey, Hillary. Is it your name Hillary? Do you understand? Now, that is of God, and it is awesome. Okay? And now that one, it doesn't take faith. Do you understand? It doesn't take faith. The person is not even risking anything, their reputation. He has seen and then just tells what he. But there's this one who hasn't seen nothing, but he just feels hilarious. Yeah? You know, Now, that one is what? You understand, Yeah. But this has nothing to do with what we are studying today, but okay. But go for those things, Okay? When a dream doesn't come, a vision doesn't come, God still expects you to know his will. You understand? He still expects you to know his will. So you cannot say that, God, I didn't know, You understand? He's like, no, you know. I've communicated to you heart to heart. You know, You prayed for his will. Then he's like, yeah, I told you. And then you tell you, and you knew. But you are doubting, well, you know, Glory be to God. Amen. Hallelujah. But we grow in this, all right? We grow in these things. And sometimes churches like LAT, which talk so much about dreams, it can appear like God only speaks through dreams. And that is a deadly what? That is a dangerous opinion to hold. Well, it's dangerous for the church, or especially the pastor, to paint such an, where it's like, say, go, you know, people think, but for me, God has never talked to me. And what they mean is, I've never dreamt. You see, get to know that LAT, when you talk about God speaking, we're not talking about what? Only dreams. God speaks in many ways. Okay? And dreams are not the highest level of communication. The highest level actually is what? This one. Heart to heart communication without words. Glory be to God. And apparently, the Lord enjoys it. Glory be to God. The Lord enjoys it. Huh? Amen. Let's continue to read. Page 65, paragraph 4. Rick Jenner says that never before had I understood so deeply what it meant for him, Jesus, to be the Word of God. Okay? Jesus is the Word of God. You know that. Okay? Do you know that? You know that. Okay. But you have never understood it so deeply. Okay? Rick Jones also knew it. He knew even the scripture. But he says, man, never before had I understood so deeply what it meant for him, what it meant for him to be the Word of God. Jesus is a communication of God to his creation. His words are spirit and life, and their meaning and power greatly exceed our present definitions. Okay? Jesus is a what? The communication of God to his creation. His words are spirit and life, and their meaning and power greatly exceed our present human definitions. Now, one of the things this means is that God doesn't waste words. God doesn't what? Waste words. Okay? And if God ever speaks to you something, you understand? it's not ordinary. It is not, it is, never take it lightly. Eh? You know, God doesn't waste words. Eh? Okay, God is not their idol, just, you know, and, you know, eh? His words, eh? Even when he tells you, let's say, money, you know, eh? It means much more than money. You understand? Eh? He has just said money because that is a word he can use, eh? What your mind can understand. Eh? But actually what he's communicating is so vast, eh? You know, okay? His words are eternal. His words are, you can't put a price to them. Glory be to God. So when God speaks to you, eh, you should always celebrate it, eh? Okay? Even if it seems a light thing, like that, this is a small thing, okay? I wanted, you know, he has just told me, anyway, I want 1 million, he has just told me 10K. But man, eh, it is God speaking, eh? You understand, eh? Hallelujah. And appreciate, celebrate those things, eh? Glory be to God, you know? Especially those moments when it is so clear, it is so evident that this is God speaking, eh? Okay? Not like when I get a dream and I know it is God, man, eh? You know, eh? I celebrate it, eh? That's why when I take a month without a dream from heaven, eh? Okay? Man, it's, I'm like, no. It's not right, eh? But like we have said, that just because I've had a month without a dream doesn't mean that God hasn't been what? Communicating. But when I get to know that he's communicating, especially in a dream, that's when you can be so sure that, yeah, he's communicating. Eh? Man, it's awesome. Hallelujah. It's awesome. Eh? All right? Glory be to God. Now, let's read a few scriptures. John chapter 1. You know the scriptures, but we have to read the Bible. Hallelujah. These things of dreams, visions, what? Audible voices. Eh? People go off track because they throw away the Bible. And I don't want to be held accountable for people not reading their Bibles. Eh? That's why I deliberately open the scriptures. John chapter 1. Verse 1 and 2, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All right? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. Verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. All right? The Word became what? Became flesh. Eh? Okay? Jesus came. God came, you know, in the form of Jesus, and he dwelt with us. Eh? He became flesh. Okay, God with us. Emmanuel. Hallelujah. Man, these things, eh? For me, I'm watching carefully. These things are very interesting. Especially since I know I have dreams, credible dreams, eh? With scriptures that the end is here. And then Emmanuel Macron, you know, says things, eh? Okay, that things. And his name, you know, eh? So, eh? Yeah. Revelation chapter 19, verse 11 to 13. Now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes, this is Jesus, by the way, his eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, And his name is called the Word of God. That is Jesus' what? Jesus' name. The Word of God. Alright? That is where I say that, man, when God speaks to you, when God gives you a word, in a sense, he has given you himself. You can bank on it. Okay? His name is called what? The Word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, was in the beginning with God. Okay? So when God speaks to you a word, he has given you himself. You can bank on it. He has given you himself. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. This church wouldn't be in existence now if it wasn't for the Word of God. Glory be to God. Amen. The Word of God, man, you can count on it. You can build on it. You can stand on it. Hallelujah. Amen. Man, I don't know how people do it. You know, especially ministries. You start a ministry, a church, a ministry of any kind, a godly thing, when you don't have a word. I don't know how people do it. Because a time will come, okay? The winds will blow, storms will come, rains will come down. And if what you built wasn't built on the Word of God, okay, it is going down. Glory be to God. Okay? Okay? And if when the winds come, okay, and the storms, you know, and the rains, before even what you have built falls, okay, during that time, before the falling and the falling, how are you able to live? Do you understand? Because you can only live between those. You can only live when you have what? A word, man. Glory be to God. All right? Never start anything major, anything major, without man having a what? Without having a word. I'm telling you. I haven't said that never start anything major without a dream. All right? Because I know the crowd I'm speaking to. You know, I haven't said that. I've said the word, what? Of God. Now, how the word comes, that's another thing. All right? It can come through a prophecy. Okay? It can come through a dream. It can come through a vision. It can come in many ways. It can come as you're reading the scriptures. Then a word jumps out. Okay? It can come, you're in a taxi, you're walking, and you just feel that the Lord has spoken to you. Glory be to God. Now, you can build on that. All right? But for things which, again, are very major, you understand? Very major. Even when you think he has spoken to you, man, especially if you've been saved for some time, and once upon a time you thought the Lord had spoken to you, then you realize, it wasn't the Lord, it was my sin. You know, if you've been saved for some time, you know that those mistakes are made. Okay, so if you're going to do something major, and then you feel God has spoken to you, this thing first, go back to him and tell your father, this that I want to do has major repercussions. So please make it more clearer if it is you, Glory be to God. Be careful, man. Things which are major decisions, always ask God for a very clear, evident what? Evident word, if I should say. Hallelujah. That's how Christians make mistakes. You understand? And we all make mistakes, but all of us. I've never met a Christian who doesn't make what? Mistakes. All right? But the more you grow in the Lord, the less mistakes you should make concerning major things. All right? Concerning what? These mistakes of you're supposed to give Teddy 2K, then you give her 1.5. Yeah. That's a mistake, but it's not major. Do you understand? Eh? Of course, to God it might be a major one because that 2K was supposed to get her home. Eh? 1.5 can't get her home. Do you understand? Eh? But again, you understand what I'm saying. Major things, man. Eh? Man, always ask God for something very real. Glory to God. Amen. And he might make it real, again, not in a vision, not in a dream, not in a prophecy, but somehow he can give you a word. You're reading the scriptures or you're just walking and he tells you something, okay, in your heart, in your spirit, and it comes with a presence that you're like, it is undeniable, this is God. Where it is not just a thought, okay? Yes, it is a thought, but it comes with an anointing and you feel it, okay? A presence. Usually, for me, it is something electrifying, you know, and it feels so nice. You know, you get a thought, and the moment that thought comes, it comes with that presence, man, and you just know this is God. There's no way you could manufacture that. You understand? Then you know now, this subject, it is settled. I know God's will, and you know, Hallelujah. Amen. Years ago, I tell this story or this experience. It was 2nd November 2000. Okay, I was in medical school. I think I was either in 5th year or 4th year. But I was in the canteen, medical school, reading the Bible. And I was reading the Bible cover to cover. So at that point in time, I was at 1 Corinthians 22. 1 Chronicles 22. So I'm reading. Then I come across this part in verse 5. Where David is talking about his son. And he says that, my son Solomon is young and inexperienced. Yet the house of the Lord to be built must be of great magnificence and fame and splendor in the sight of all nations. I'm reading. I just read that. Man, there was a scripture jumps out, and it comes with a presence, and you just know this. In fact, I couldn't read any further. I just what? And I knew this is the Lord speaking to me. That at a certain, he's saying, right now, Moses, you're young and inexperienced. Basically, you're stupid. Okay? Or, you're not as wise yet as you should be. Okay? That is better, Okay? But, you're young and inexperienced. You need more time to grow. Okay? In the things of the Lord, and I guess naturally also, you know, mentally and stuff, okay? At a certain point, you build me a house that will be of great magnificence and fame and splendor in the sight of what? All nations, I knew the Lord had spoken, okay? That day, I go back home, okay? During that time, I never used to watch TV, because remember, I was in 5th year, and I think like the final term or something like that, things are tight, man, as in, okay, exams are coming, final exams, So I never used to watch TV, But this particular day, I go home, then I get the remote control, and I was like, I wonder what is on TV these days, okay? So I switch to the TV, and it's Lighthouse Television, and there's Pastor Lai. Remember that guy? He's in Kenya. Anyway, wherever he Mombasa is. So I switch on, and the guy, he's reading 1 Chronicles 22:5. you know, Solomon, my son, is young and that's how I talk. He's young and inexperienced, and the house of the Lord to be built must be of great faith. Man, I was blessed. I switched off it. I just went to my room, and I knew now, this is the Lord. Glory be to God. Now, that is one of the words. It might be the main word that this whole LAT thing. It is the word I'm standing on. You understand? Of course, there are others, but that is like the foundation. You see, so even when I see you guys, how many are you? You're 8, you're what? 10. For me, I'm not thinking about how many you are. Glory be to God. For me, I have a scripture, the house of the Lord, of course, this LAT, will be of great magnificence and fame and splendor in the sight of what? All nations. Hallelujah. But you see, it's a journey. So if you don't take this one step, ministering to 10 people, who's like, but how can we go there yet? What? You understand? So you just continue doing what he has given you at this moment, okay? And the other thing, you leave it up to him, okay? When the storms come and the winds blow and the rain, you know, you're like, I was told to build this what? Now just imagine if you don't have a word like that. Things blow mad. Cut wires, go mad. If you don't have a word, that's when you start being a politician, manipulating people, doing all crazy things to grow a church. Start promising people things. All right? You start saying, man, this is the only church where you can get blessed. Okay? Those who leave, you are like, they're not going to get blessed. Okay? You do stupid things. Okay? Why? Because you don't have a word, so you have to create your own words. Scaring people. Okay? Scaring people or deceiving people. What will happen when they join your church, the blessings, okay? Then you exaggerate even the blessings, So, don't do anything major, I'm just giving you this wisdom. Don't do anything major, These ones of 2K, what, 5K, you can afford to error, But major things, especially if you're married. If you're single, you can mess yourself up. You're hurting only yourself. Okay? Which, of course, is not true. Even when you're single, maybe you are a chick, you're single, but you have a father. If things go wrong in your life, your father gets hurt. You understand? So, in a sense, you're not alone. Your mistakes affect other people. Okay? But especially if you're married, man. You have a kid, man. You error, now the kid also, then the wife. Then the wife makes a mistake, the husband's affected. Major things, please, always inquire of the Lord. Glory be to God. All right? Major things. Again, I tell you, don't just go by. God told me to leave my job and go to Belgium. They said, so what are you going to do in Belgium? He just told me to go. Always say, now, God, you've told me Belgium. I think you're telling me, but please speak more about this thing. God, this thing is major. Do you understand? And he's a father. He hears that. Then you come and what? And say, okay, then sometimes you can come in a dream and say, I don't dare what? Go to Belgium. You understand? It wasn't me. You understand? It wasn't me, my child. Hallelujah. Amen. I wasn't planning to say these things. A Bible study should be a study. It shouldn't be preaching. But, All right. Now, let's open page 74. Page 74. You remember, the topic today is God's Word and Your Word. Okay? So we have already seen Jesus is the Word. All right? And we have added in other things to see how major God's speaking to you is, and how you shouldn't do anything of great significance if you don't have a word from him. Now, page 74, paragraph 7. The Lord speaks to Rick Joyner and tells him that you seek to know and walk in my power so that you can heal the sick and perform miracles. But you have not even begun to comprehend the power of my word. Okay? You have not even begun to comprehend the power of my word. Okay? God's word never fails. You understand? Okay? To resurrect all the dead who have ever lived on earth will not even cause me to strain, because he will just speak. Okay? It's a small thing to him. I uphold all things by the power of my word. The creation exists because of my word, and it is held together by my word. Glory be to God. He's just showing how powerful his word is. That's what I'm telling you. Don't take lightly what God tells you, what God speaks to you about. It is that major. Glory be to God. It is what? I tell people, okay, and I wrote it in my book. When I was at the university, I was in second year, just like you in second year. She finished second year, I'm joking. Anyway, but one time I had an audible voice. Audible voice. Okay? I was alone in my room, Northcote, in Sibira, and I had a voice telling me, if you joyfully obey the laws of giving and receiving, you will never see financial depression in your life. Notice, the Lord didn't tell me that I'll give you 100 planes. All right? He just told me you won't see financial depression in your life. Okay? Now, over the years, man, I have tested that word to be true, man. You see the power of his word, Okay, this is what I'm telling you. God doesn't waste words. It is us human beings who don't believe him. And then even when he has told us something, we still go ahead and do our own things, expecting his word, what? Somehow it might happen as I'm doing my own things. Do you understand? Build on the word of God. Don't build on your own things. Glory be to God. Amen? That is how... You remember that is essentially how this church is still around, even when the things I did and I exposed like Elvis and people left, because I touched the Lord's anointing, Okay, that's how we're still around paying rent. You understand? What is happening is God is watching over his word. He told this guy, you never see financial. So God has somehow to take care of all these things, as long as I'm joyfully obeying that law, okay? We tithe, I told you we send our tithes to Rick Joyner, okay? We not only tithe, but we save money, every time when we can, okay? We are paying for two university kids at school. This is a small church, as you're saying. And then when some money remains, Rachel gives it to me, And then when I get it, again, I give a significant chunk of it away, because God told me, okay, if you joyfully obey the laws, you understand? So it's not like when Rachel gives me like a 200,000, I'm like, I have to give. It is little, but I know as long as I'm giving, God will ensure that all my needs are met. Do you understand? You see, building on the word man, glory be to God. Amen. That's why most of you, I'm sure, are surprised why this guy is not what? Harassing us for money. Okay? The church, you know, we are, let's say, 100, now we are 50. You should expect, to be harassed for dimes, isn't it? I'm sure that some of you have been angry. When is it coming? It's not coming. Glory be to God. Amen? Of course, if I told you to give, you know, being told to give and being harassed to give, those are two different things. Hallelujah. Amen. But you see, God is faithful. You see, His word is that precious. So that's why I was telling you that I don't click people who especially who begin churches or ministries, fellowships, without a word from God. I don't know how they do it. But the majority have seen the way they do it, man. Just politics, just manipulation. Okay? And it works for them. They're getting the money, things are happening, but there's a day coming. That day, in the final quest, the judgment day, when people will give account for everything that they did. Hallelujah. Amen. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 to 3. You remember, Rick Joyner was saying, God was telling Joyner he was telling him that I uphold all things by the power of my word. The creation exists because of my word, and it is held together by my word. Okay? So, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 to 3 says, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power. Okay? You see? He does what? Upholds all things by the word of his power. That is what I wanted to read. Upholds all things by the word of his power. Or, like NIV, I think, says, by his powerful word. So if all things are held together by the word of God, So do you see how precious the word of God is? It means that your life, if you have the word of God, it can hold your life together. Your life won't get messed up. Yeah, it will be held together. Glory be to God. If you walk by the word of God concerning your finances won't fall apart. They will be held together, because of that word. Do you understand? In a sense, life is that simple. Hallelujah. Life is what? That simple. Just get a word from God and then rest. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, life is what? It is that simple. I have not said that storms won't come. Glory be to God. I have not said that winds won't blow. But Jesus said, if you have built, on the rock, and he said, that means if you've done everything according to my word, you've built on the rock. When those storms come and the winds blow, that house won't fall. Do you understand? I haven't said that tests won't come, trials won't come, but I've said life is that simple. All you need to have is the word of God concerning something and then build on that. all the trials that will come won't be able to shake that what you have built. Glory be to God. Amen. That's why in it is existing. We go to shock, you understand it? But this is why it is still here, is because it was built on the word of God. Glory be to God. It was built on the word of God. That's why, you know, it couldn't, you know. And that was that dream, you remember? I shared it, which was saying that the protected or the protected, you remember? You know, Okay? Please don't do anything major without the word. Okay? And if you build on the word, okay, storms will come, winds will blow, okay? But what you've built won't fall apart. Okay? It says that the word will uphold that which you've built. Because, it says that God upholds all things by his what? Powerful word, by the word of his power. Glory be to God. Amen. I hope you're being blessed. I've said so many things which are. Hallelujah. Page 75, paragraph 4 and 6. From paragraph 4 to 6, it says, page 75, 4 to 6, okay, the Lord is still speaking to Jonah and tells him, my word is the power that upholds all things. To the degree that you believe my word is true, you can do all things. Those who really believe that my words are true will also be true to their own words. Okay? You remember? The title for the study today is what? God's word and your word. And now we have come to your word. Hallelujah. This is where now you're going to start feeling very uncomfortable in your seats. Glory be to God. Those who really believe that my words are true will also be true to their words. Okay? It is my nature to be true, and the creation trusts my word because I am faithful to it, to my word. Okay? Okay? All right? This statement is remarkable. Those who really believe that my words are true will also be true to their own words. Okay? That this can also be taken to mean that you can, it can be taken to mean that if you find someone who's not faithful to their words, just be sure that they can't believe God when he tells them something. Okay? Isn't it? Okay? And if we take it further, that means that someone's ability to believe God, when God has spoken to them about something, God has given them a promise. Okay? Someone's ability to believe God that what he has said will happen. Okay? It is tied, to how they themselves fulfill what they say. Do you understand? If someone tells people how they're going to give them money. Yeah, your wedding is coming up. Oh, yeah. When? 22nd. I'll call you. Yeah, I'll give you 500,000. What? 22nd. Then they've been, let me put a reminder. then you say, yeah, oh, yeah, and here is a card. Say, no, I don't need a card, you know, eh? Okay, yeah, but I'll come. I mind, I'll be there. Where? St. Luke. Eh, what time? Okay? Yeah, but before that day, I'll send you something. And that is the end of the what? I was going to say, that is the end of the guy. But the best word is, that is the end of the fool. Never see them again. Never get a what, even a text message, that, man, I'm sorry, the other money which I expected. Man, that's it. You know, in zero. Okay? Never see them at church. Yeah, you know, St. Luke, zero. Now, that person, be sure that even when God appears to them in a dream, in a vision vivid, they will find it so hard to believe God. They'll find it so hard because they themselves, they think that God is like them. You know, because you just know people don't keep their words. And that's why maybe they also lie. Because they're like, that's how the world operates, man. That's how the world operates. Everyone is doing it, everyone, you know. Yeah. You cannot be there when what you're not playing anybody. How do you survive, man? You have to parent, you have to play, you have to hammer guys. Everyone is doing it. Museven is doing it. Even those Americans are doing it. Everyone is doing it. There's no one. You understand? So now when God tells them, really? Because for them, that's how the whole world operates. Okay? I'm telling you, Okay? So that means that if you want to really have faith in God, to start believing what God tells you, one of the places to start is with your own words. Glory be to God. Start with your words. Okay? Be someone who keeps promises. If you can't keep a promise, communicate. Don't just keep quiet. Okay? And don't also just not fulfill just because you just feel lazy. As in, let it be something major to store, not just flimsy reasons. Glory be to God. Don't switch off your... I was going to say what? Something, and I thought there's someone who might think I'm talking about, You understand? I'm telling you, So I think about this thing and I realize actually sometimes now you are what? You are a man of God and people who come to you for counsel, but I find it so hard to believe God. When I really know the problem, Then I realize that maybe we should start when someone who comes to talk to you about that issue, I find it, but I don't know how to believe God, Maybe you can start by asking them that, do you fulfill your promises? Do you keep your word? Because that could be the issue. Then for you tell them, go and meditate on the word, And that's good. But God is like, no, that one, his issue is not meditating in the word. That won't solve the what? The issue. The issue is they are liars. That's why they can't believe me because they think I'm also a liar. They can't say it, but their nature is such that they don't believe anyone because they themselves, are liars. So they think everyone is a liar. Okay? I've been thinking about these things. Some of these things where people find it hard to believe God. It could be, of course not all, but it could be that they themselves never keep promises. They just break promises anytime. Today I won't come. They then don't communicate until you call them. Say, but you man, you told me 2 p.m. Now it is 4. Say, I wasn't able to come because, but why didn't you communicate? Do you understand? Okay, if you didn't have airtime to communicate, that is understandable. You're like, I wanted, please, Moses, sorry, I wanted to na ye airtime. Okay. And I wasn't anyone who had your number who could call you on my behalf. But these things were just, you know, I just felt tired. Chicks. Just felt tired. You know, I was tired. Then they even do that kind of voice just to manipulate. I was tired. So when they said to a guy, I was tired. Like, okay, sorry. So what made you tired? Then they are finished. They have manipulated your orange. Then you also respond, oh, sorry. No, you say, Man, women, you have to be very careful with what? These women, right? Hallelujah. So, if you want to have faith, to believe that God's word is promised, that dream will come to pass, the prophecy, you understand? Begin by being true to your word. Begin by don't be quick to give promises. Do you understand? Okay. Since God's word is precious, like we have said, let your word also be precious. Don't just speak things. Do you understand? Words are precious. God's word is precious. Now you as a child of God, your word should also be precious. Don't just blabber things, man. Things you're not going to what? You're not going to do, you're not going to fulfill. You just want to impress. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, none of us is perfect, but but you understand what I'm saying. We should do better. Amen. Glory be to God. Okay? So, my word is a power that upholds all things. To the degree that you believe my word is true, you can do all things. Those who really believe that my words are true will also be true to their own words. It is my nature to be true. And the creation trusts my word. Can you imagine? Creation trusts God's word. Trees trust God's word. Have you ever thought about it? Well, they do. The Bible says they uphold all things by his word. So it means trees and stones, rocks, they hear the word of God and they believe him. Glory be to God. Amen? All right? It says that creation trusts my word because I'm faithful to it. All right? Those who are like me are also true to their own words. Their word is sure, and their commitments are trustworthy. Their yes means yes, and their no means no. If your own words are not true, you will also begin to doubt my words because deception is in your heart. Glory be to God. Okay? Because deception is in your heart and you think everyone is a deceiver. You know, Okay? You know, like players, like guys and chicks who play sexually, you understand, in relationships, they cheat on each other, okay? They think that everyone is a player. I have a friend, well, he's not a friend. He was a friend years ago, but now he's an acquaintance, okay? He's not born again, okay? But when we were in high school on campus, we were friends, okay? You met him, that guy from Rwanda, the lawyer. Anyway, that guy I remember when we went to Senior One in Smack, Senior One. Guys were with him in Bat Valley. Bat Valley, those days were man. Those were posh schools. Bat Valley, Boogie Road, you know Boogie Road? Buganda Road. Boogie Road. Okay? These schools which turned into UPE, those were the top schools in this country. You go to that school, you are assured of going to, the Ivy League of Uganda, So, this guy, his OBs from Bat Valley. By the way, does Bat Valley still exist?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. So, this guy, you know, at an early age, he was messed up sexually. You know, at an early age. Primary, you know, with girls, you know. So, yeah, and now when he came to smack, you know, the guy used to tell me stories about he messes up chicks, you know. Anyway, in that area, but he was a very nice guy. But to this day, he's a nice guy, a very good guy, you know. But I remember sometime, I think when you were on campus, okay, so he married, then he got kids. So one time I met him, asked him, how many kids? The guy told me, years ago, he told me, I have two kids. They say, girl, son. He say, boys. He say, I don't want girls. No, that's a real man. Most men would want a daughter, because daughters are precious. Okay? A guy who has no daughter, they haven't yet begun to live. Daughters are wonderful. And so, the guy told me for him, he doesn't want what? Girls. Why? Because the guy says, man, I don't want what? My daughter, some guys might mess him up. The way he what? He's like, yeah. He's like, So the guy, even now, many years later, we met him. He stopped on those two boys. Tagalabawala. You understand? So anyway, he thinks that how he was, that's how other men are, and that's how they'll be to his daughters. And sometimes, you reap what you sow. But, all right? So, if your own words are not true, you also begin to doubt my words because deception is in your heart. If you're not faithful to your own words, it is because you do not really know me. To have faith, you must be faithful. Now, there it is. Okay? To have faith, you must be what? Faithful. To have faith in God, okay? To have faith in God's word, you must be faithful to your word. It is that simple. I have called you to walk by faith because I am faithful. It is my nature. Glory be to God. That is why you will be judged because of the careless words you speak. All right? Let's open it. Matthew chapter 12, verse 36. Matthew 12, 36. And 37. Jesus says, but I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Glory be to God. Amen. Let's go back to the final quest. Okay? That is why you'll be judged because of the careless words you speak. To be careless is to care less. Words have power. Okay? Words have what? Let's open Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21. I will always make you read the word. I don't want you to just your dreams, Proverbs 18, 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And those who love it will eat its fruit. Death and life are what? In the power of the tongue. If you believe that, you will be careful with your words. Okay? You won't be careless with your words because words have power. Okay? You won't care less. Okay? Careless means to care less. All right? So, to be careless is to care less. Words have power, And those who are careless with words cannot be trusted with the power of my words. All right? You understand? God can trust people with the power of his word. Okay? People who don't care about their words, who don't realize that words have power. All right? It is wisdom to be careful with your words and to keep them as I do. All right? Keeping your word. If you're not going to keep your word, don't say, don't promise. You're not on gunpoint to promise anything. Listen to me. You're not on gunpoint. Hallelujah. I tell people that I rarely make pledges, these wedding meeting things. Now, pledges are not evil, but I'm saying me as Moses, I rarely make pledges. Okay? You have a wedding, okay? When I get the money, I'll give it to you. I'll just go, by the way, I have a 50K for your wedding. All right? Okay? All right? Now, I make pledges, but I'm saying I rarely make those what? Those pledges. Even by the time I even tell you that I'm going to give you 50K, usually I already have it. And I will give it to you very quickly before I spend it on something else. Do you understand? Okay? No one has put you on gunpoint to promise anything. So don't be what? Don't be pressured. Don't try to impress. Things you can't keep. You know? Hallelujah. It is wisdom to be careful with your words. So that means that people who are not careful with their words are foolish. Isn't it? Because it says it is wisdom to be careful with your words. So people who are not careful with their words are what? Okay? Including those who don't keep their words. Hallelujah. Now, page 70, as we summarize, as we end. Page 70, paragraph 1 to 2. This is Paul speaking. He says that, I so appreciate the grace of the Lord to use my letters. Okay? The letters of Paul, those books of Paul. I so appreciate the grace of the Lord to use my letters as he has, but I am concerned with the way many of you are using them improperly. They are the truth of the Holy Spirit and they are scripture. The Lord did give me great stones to set into the structure of his eternal church, but they are not foundation stones. Okay? Paul's letters are not what? Foundation stones. The foundation stones were laid by Jesus alone. My life and ministry are not the example of what you are called to be. Jesus alone is that. If what I have written is used as a foundation, it will not be able to hold the weight of that which needs to be built upon it. What I have written must be built upon the only foundation that can withstand what you are about to endure. It must not be used as the foundation. This is where I wanted to come. You must see my teachings through the Lord's teachings. Okay? Not try to understand him from my perspective. Okay? You don't understand Jesus' words from Paul's what? Perspective. You don't understand the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, okay? From Paul's perspective. Okay? On the contrary, you should understand Paul from God's perspective, from Jesus' perspective. His words are the foundation. I have only built upon them by elaborating on his words. Okay? The greatest wisdom and the most powerful truth are his words, not mine. Glory be to God. Now, why did I include this portion in this topic? Is to get us realize that you cannot understand Paul. You cannot understand Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Colossians, Ephesians, Timothy, Titus, all those books. If you haven't understood the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, where Jesus was the one speaking, you understand? Okay? Of course, even what Paul wrote was the Lord's words. Okay? But like I said, he was only elaborating what the Lord has what? Had spoken. And in order to understand Paul, okay, you have to understand him with the lens of Jesus' what? Teachings. Glory be to God. And you'll find, like I've said, I said this month or last month at church, there's nowhere you ever find Paul contradicting Jesus. Glory be to God. Okay? And now I guess that is where this whole thing of what? Pre-tribulation, mid-tribulation, that's where now the problems are. Okay? Jesus said it so clearly that immediately after the tribulation, then the Son of Man, then he, Jesus, will come and gather us. That's what he said. Very clear. Now, if you haven't understood that, that's when now you're going to get issues, what? We'll pause later. That's when you start pre-tribulation, mid-what? Tribulation. Because you didn't understand what Jesus said. And Paul is saying, for me, I was just elaborating what the Lord had said. So that means the things Paul spoke concerning the end times, he was elaborating what? Jesus had said in Matthew 24, Luke 21, Mark 30. You understand? Okay? So that means now, we who are here, we as a church, those who are going to listen to this, okay, we should take some time, every now and again, to read the Gospels. Glory be to God. Because if you neglect the Gospels and you just go into the epistles, so that you can find those things where you say, I'm a new what? Hey, I'm a new creation. Man, you get messed up somewhere because the foundation is not right. You misunderstand Paul, because you're not building on the foundation of what? The Gospels. Hallelujah. I know Kenneth Hagin, the great Kenneth Hagin, he had a different, Hagin used to say that, he had he preferred, maybe I didn't understand him, but he seemed to prefer, to say that the epistles were written to us, is it? And the Gospels, there's something like that where it seemed like putting the epistles above the Gospel, but I could have misunderstood him. All right? And even if he said what I think he said, we know in part, and revelation grows. You understand? So maybe at the time when he said that, but you can find that later in life, he actually didn't hold that opinion. But even if he held it to the end, for us who are still here, we should know better. Glory be to God. Amen. Remember we're talking about God's word and your word. Now Paul here is saying that, man, my word, is inferior to God's word. You understand? And he says, if you want to understand me, first understand the Lord. If you don't understand the Lord, You won't understand me. You twist things. So it's like the Lord's words are the foundation. All right? And the Lord's word is supposed to also be the foundation of our lives. I've had people coming and telling me things that they have dreamt about me, my family, how many, things. Okay? But for me, I'm like, okay, that could be true. However, I remember on this day, God, I had this dream. Okay? Where God was talking about the same matter, and this is what he said. If they now, I'm like, okay, this person's dream might be right. Okay? But I also have mine. Where God spoke to me direct. Then now, I go to God. I'm like, now God. Okay? In 2006, you told me this about this subject. Now there's this person, your child, a daughter, son. Now they are saying that you told them this about me concerning this subject. And it is contrary to what you told me in 2006. So God, what's this? And I tell God, God, I'm not ready to move from what you told me in 2006. Okay? Unless maybe did something change. You understand? I'm like, God, no, you told me this. Me, personally, you told me this. Now someone is saying that you have told them this about me, And they could be right, Father. But, clarify, as it. Okay? And some time ago, there was an issue of that kind. And this issue has been there for 2 years. And I always go back, okay, someone said this piece was said, then another one, many people, five, they're all saying something, But I always go to God, but the one number, Okay? And he's only, and I tell God, I'm not moving away from what you told me, to do what you've apparently told these people. And some of them are dreams, by the way. And I believe in dreams, I take dreams seriously. But I'm like, but they're contradicting this. Okay? And I'm like, God, I'm not moving away from here until you clarify. You remember, don't make major decisions without what? Very clear things. Okay? Then I think it was 2 or 3 months ago, I had a dream, when there was something major. 2010, 11, God told me this. Now, people, 2 years ago, they began coming. Okay? Then it's 2 months ago, that's what I had a dream when God is telling me, stick to this that I told you. But it's okay. Do you understand? Man, for me, I take these things of God speaking words very seriously. I don't take them lightly. I go to God and say, you told me this, I'm not moving. Okay, just because Teddy has said that you told them this about I mean, no. God, first tell me, explain, Bulungi. There was a guy who made a mistake like that and he died in the Bible. A prophet. God told him, go to a certain place and give this a prophecy. And after giving the prophecy, don't spend the night there. You understand? Okay? Just return. So the guy went, gave the prophetic word. A prophet. All right? Then, after he's going, he's back as the Lord had instructed him. Then some senior prophet, much older guy, comes and tells him, no, you stay. The Lord has told me that you can stay. Okay? And the guy, man, what? I think that was even something eating food or what? Something don't even eat. Don't wear zine. The old prophet, God has spoken to me. Come, stay. Then the Kayang, what? The prophet became stupid. He stayed and ate. And the moment he did that, now this chick guy who tricked him said, now, you haven't done what the Lord told you, so you're going to what? Lions are going to eat. And man, that's what happened. The guy died. God had told him something. Then someone came and told him something, what? Contrary. He should have inquired of the Lord, said, but God, you told me this, now I tell this prophet who I respect is saying this. And Father, I respect him. These are seniors, and I respect them. But what they're telling me, don't just believe people just because they are seniors in these things. They can error, you understand? Okay, we know in part, we prophesy in part. They can error. So it goes, all right? That's how precious you should hold God's word. Okay? But for some of these things, first begin with your own words. Okay? Glory be to God. Amen.